This is the Big Sports Brekkie on Monday, March 25th. Great to have your company. Just running through some of the big sports results across the weekend. The Parramatta Eels, then our sixth on the NRL ladder, 28-24 against the Sea Eagles. Remus Smith suffered a rib injury in a 14-12 loss against the Knights. We probably haven't talked up Newcastle enough thus far this morning. We'll address that a little bit later on. The Titans, well, they are struggling, and now they're without their skipper. A ruptured ACL has ended his season after round three. The Broncos look to be making a push for Tevita Pangai Jr. Kevin Walters urged by senior players to sign the gun. And Greater Western Sydney and Sydney topping the AFL ladder. Port Adelaide are right up there as well. 4 goals to Todd Marshall in a 122-92 win against Richmond at the MCG. The Western Bulldogs were very good, 115-67 against the Suns, who were a touch disappointing, and all eyes on the AFL tribunal, with Peter Wright sent straight there and could face up to a month on the sidelines for his hit on Harry Cunningham. Beyond that, horse racing wise, I updated you on Kieran McAvoy, desperately hoping that he is out of hospital soon enough. If he isn't already, it was meant to be either last night or this morning. And Kieran, best of luck with your recovery. It was a horrible fall, and Tintuki, the horse that he was on, had to be euthanized on track due to her injuries, which was horribly disappointing. Ali Mosley touched on that earlier, and my thoughts certainly with all of the owners on that front. F1, we had the Formula One, and to those who were there at Melbourne Park, I'm sure you had an absolute ball. It was a brilliant day, and Carlos Sainz Jr. won the 2024 Australian Grand Prix. Max Verstappen retired on lap 3 due to a brake pad failure, smoke coming out of the back. And from an Aussie side of things, Oscar Piastri finished just outside the podium, which was a shame, in 4th. Nick Perkat had a Supercars win, bit of a drought breaker there at Albert Park as well. And on the basketball front, we have had a few suggesting that the hero of the weekend is undoubtedly Jack McVay. This was a buzzer beater that I reckon would feature in an ESPN top 10, no dramas at all. In fact, top 2 or 3, because it was absolutely brilliant. 2 seconds left on the clock, down by 1, stole the game against Melbourne United, and they now lead the best of 5 NBL Championship Series 2-1 with that win at John Cain Arena, 93-91. And hats off to Western Australia, the cricket dynasty. I love your intro, Mossy, and it's fair enough too. Getting extra hype to have a chat to you, which is always exciting. On the football front, World Cup qualifiers continue for the Socceroos tomorrow. They go up against Lebanon once again, a game I'm sure you are particularly excited for.
Good morning, Benny. Morning, Loz, Clarkie. Look, I'm sure there's plenty of listeners that wish that the content of my segment matched the introduction to my segment, but nevertheless, the Socceroos march on, and big game tomorrow night for a lot of different reasons. You know, we hold the advantage, obviously, and a comfortable lead at the top of Group I. So, you know, we're pretty much safely through to the next and final round of qualifying for the 2026 World Cup. But Graham Arnold still continues to try and build depth and find that balance between building depth and getting the results and evolving the way that we play. He's got some injury concerns to get over. Jordan Boss and Riley McGree have both left camp and gone back to their clubs. Joel King from Sydney FC, who hasn't played a lot of game time at Sydney in the A-League this season, comes in as a bit of cover on the left-hand side, and he's, you know, no stranger to Socceroos camp. He's got a handful of caps in the past. But it's an important game tomorrow night, and I believe ticket sales have gone very, very well down in the nation's capital. So expect a big crowd, well over 20,000 at GIO Stadium.
What about some of the other internationals, buddy? Over the weekend, Germany had a win. Brazil beat England as well.
Yeah, that's right, and a new star is on the horizon. Endrick is his name. They're comparing him a little bit to Romario, Clark. He's the youngest player ever to score at Wembley. I think he's the youngest player behind Ronaldo to play for Brazil, and it just seems a very, very humble human being, but with superstar powers. So keep an eye on him. He's off to Real Madrid. He signed for Real Madrid and can't join them until July, I think, when he turns 18. Mm. Incredible that we're talking this way about someone who hasn't even hit 18. But, I think he's going to be the next big thing in Brazilian and potentially world football.
Loz, I'm sure that you're keen to get a heads up on the national team shake-up there.
Well, I was about to ask, Mossy, Gary Moretti. Tell us a little bit about this appointment to the head of the national teams.
Loz, I think this is one of the most significant appointments in recent times, and I don't say that lightly. Gaz was used to be the team manager of the Oliroos and Socceroos years and years ago, went overseas, got recognised by FIFA and appointed to head of competition management for FIFA, and comes back to Football Australia as head of national teams. Gaz is a highly decorated football administrator, very, very savvy, very smart, has connections deep in Asian and world football. And I think this is going to be huge for the national teams. And not, I don't just mean the senior national teams. I'm talking about the pathways as well. Gaz won't take a backward step. He's got football running through his veins. He's got great leadership qualities. I think he's got all the things that we've probably been lacking in that position, which I think is an incredibly powerful and influential position in Australian football, which I think will also have an impact on the A-League down the track. But first things first, making sure the national team pathways and senior teams are operating as they should. And I think he'll give great support to the likes of Graham Arnold and Tony Gustafsson and all the national team coaches. So big, big news for Australian football.
Yeah, that led to my next question, Mossy. I don't know, Gary, but from what you've just said, obviously this is going to be a good appointment, but that's for the national teams. And I think here in Australia, we're always going to support the national teams. But I'm just wondering, and I don't want to be disparaging here at all, but like with the A-League, there just doesn't seem to be enough out there about it. Like, how do we go about fixing the amount of coverage or the publicity that the A-League receive here in this country?
Well, look, and you're right, Loz. I can't sit here and argue as much as I've got football running through my veins. You know, there's issues, deep-seated issues that need ironing out. And we seem to be back at this point again, where the A-League, men's and women's, need a lot of love, care and expertise and leadership. I think that's a big thing. And I believe FA ran a big leadership summit last week or the week before, and the A-League owners and senior management were all there. There's a big push from Antar Isaac, the new chairman of FA, to get leadership at the level it needs to be to get Australian football back to the level it needs to be. So he's really pinpointing leadership, which I think is a very smart move, because I think fish rots from the head down. And if you haven't got leadership right and where it needs to be, then nothing else will work. So that's point one. Point two, and our good old mate Robbie Slater was in the media over the last few days, and of course I have a lot of respect for Robbie's opinion. He believes the A-Leagues need to go back under the FA banner. You'll remember it was unbundled a few years ago, and things haven't worked. We've got to be honest about that. The amount of money that came in through Silver Lake private equity that was wasted on KeepUp, the app, things like that. It just hasn't worked. So, you know, the A-League was a lot stronger when it was under Football Australia. I believe there's some real willingness from APL to explore that going back to FA. So if that can happen, I think that will be a step in the right direction.
Talking of leadership, Perth Glory, they've announced that former Socceroo legend Stan Lazaridis has been appointed as the club's football director.
You've been doing your research over the weekend.
I have.
Yeah, fantastic. And
I used to love Stan down the left side of the field.
How good. Speed. Yeah, what a funny story about Stan Lazaridis. But got to do with gambling inside his own team when he was at West Ham. But anyway, the ball used to get kicked out very early in games, and they used to tell him to just run, and they'd find him from the kickoff, and he kept seeing it go to row Z. Then he worked out about seven rounds in that they actually had a wager on which team would kick the ball out first in the game. But anyway, back to real life. And look, it's a great appointment. Stan has a wonderful name in Australian football, obviously, but he's a very smart businessman as well, and he's been appointed director of football for Perth Glory. So it's a savvy signing from the new ownership at Perth Glory, and I think it's just another sign. There's some good things happening. You know, if you look at Auckland FC coming in with a billionaire owner, Bill Foley, you look at Stan Lazaridis joining Perth, there's some green shoots and there's some positive stuff happening. But the big stuff, the health of the league as a whole, bigger crowds, broadcast, all the things that make a league thrive, certainly need a lot of work.
All right. We're talking about the A-League then. What's the latest with the Newcastle Jets?
I was just trying to make myself feel better, Loz, and then you dragged me right down again. Yeah, look, there's more questions than answers still, even over the weekend, and we spoke about it Friday morning. There was more questions than answers. Nothing's really changed over the weekend, aside to say that the change of ownership process at the Newcastle Jets seems to have been in train since October last year, which I find surprising because APL have owned Newcastle now for, I think it must be coming on 3 years now. So that needs to get sorted and sorted quickly. Otherwise, the foundation club is going to be sunk and we can't afford for that. No one in the Newcastle Hunter region deserves for that to happen. But I think, you know, the club really need to step up that process because I can't understand why a club in Newcastle, you know, one team city, is not attractive to potential owners. So I can only assume that the process is fraught rather than the attractiveness of actually buying a club up there. Because we saw even yesterday with the NRL, you know, Newcastle get behind their sporting teams when things are going well and healthy. It's a wonderful sporting area. So that needs to be sorted very, very quickly.
Now, just before we let you go, Mossy, last time I was on, I was informed by several listeners that you were having a horror run with your multi. I want to celebrate you if there is reason for celebrating. How has your multi gone in the past few weeks? Any success stories?
Well, with the backing of the two gentlemen next to you, particularly Clarkey, I have to say. Loz, I think Loz was quite happy that I wasn't winning because it sort of took a little bit of the focus off his multis. But Clarkey was backing me all the way in when things were down. I think it was 66 on the trot, according to one listener. No, I've had a couple of wins since you were last on, Benny.
He's
so, yeah.
Lovely.
Yeah.
He's well and truly back, put it that way.
You are fair weather, Loz.
Me?
Fair weather.
I think the right word is selective for Loz.
Well, I'm more supportive of everyone. To their face.
Yes.
Oh, right. So behind his back, are you happy to admit you were cheering against the rival multi?
Could have been. Possibly.
Can't remember.
Yeah. That's exactly right.
It was that long ago, man. Like I say, Mossy's been terrific.
I enjoy celebrating everyone's success. Mine more so.
Benny, there's a saying too. It's much easier to look through the windscreen than the rear vision mirror because it's a much bigger piece of glass. So I can't believe you've actually gone all the way back and brought that up again.
No. I just knew you had a change of fortune, and I've been cheering for you behind the scenes.
We like leaving things in the past, Mossy. Don't worry about that, buddy.
Move forward, Mossy.
It's a new year.
Even if you hadn't had a winner, I wanted you to lie. Good to have you on, Mossy. Have a good week.
You too. Take care, guys.
This is the Big Sports Breakfast. Great to have you listening. We are in the heart of the Autumn Racing Carnival. Our tickets giveaway continues all through this week. Thanks to TAB and the ATC, we have free passes to Stakes Day this Saturday, which is packed with great racing and family entertainment as well. Head to australianturfclub.com.au for more and to guarantee your tickets. But today, just today, I get to give away 4 GA tickets. We all do, which we're looking forward to. So 4 GA tickets to Rose Hill Gardens for Stakes Day. You have to be caller number 2. So 135353, you guys know the drill. Caller number 2 is going to win 4 GA tickets to Rose Hill Gardens for Stakes Day. It will be a brilliant event, so make sure to call through 135353. Keep those texts coming through when it comes to the heroes and villains. I did laugh at this one in regards to Mossy, just to make Mossy feel a little bit better. Well, that one won't make him feel any better from Gary. I won't read that out. But TAB had 23 special offer bets on the races on Saturday and one saluted at $2.30. Our traders do a great job to have those special offers there. And I must say, that is slim pickings. So Sven, appreciate that. We saw a couple of long texts come through and I appreciate the time that you guys have put into it. Wounded Rabbit Jacko was one of those. Morning, boys. My heroes and villains are Cam Murray. He's the heart and soul of South, and without him, things would be worse, if that's even possible. And villain, all of his teammates, for not putting in. So there you go. Do you agree with those sentiments, Loz?
Oh, look, I think you could look at the majority of the South Sydney players, and if they're being honest with each other, are they really committing to what needs to be done? And you would say no. You know, there's effort areas in their game. Every player needs to look at themselves in the mirror first and turn up with a better attitude, get more involved and do their job better than what they've been doing. You could pick holes in a lot of areas of their game. You can pick holes in individuals, but it's got to come down to hard work. And if they're not prepared to put in a hard working display first and foremost, they're not going to improve. We'll get a better understanding of South, how they're going after this weekend when they take on the Dogs.
Eagle Pete has texted in, "My hero is Blake Shin. What a cool, calm and collected ride to win the Slipper." I agree 100%. His ride was absolutely picture perfect. He probably would have preferred to have got that gap maybe 10, 20 metres earlier, but bar that, which is no real fault of his own, Blake Shin rode that horse to perfection. And maybe he hasn't got the plaudits that he deserves, because it wasn't his only good ride on the day there on Saturday. And whenever he comes to Sydney, he just shakes things up a little bit. And where a few others maybe didn't have their best performances in the Slipper, Blake was absolutely fantastic. So a brilliant hero there. And my villains are all the former players, sorry Loz, and fans who insist that accidents on the footy field are acceptable and should go unpunished. The footy field is the office for all players, and no employer is allowed by law to accept accidents in the workplace, and things happen time from time. The consequences could be serious injury, etc. I don't know whether I entirely agree with that. Accidents can happen on a football field, and not someone doesn't need to be at fault every time. But maybe let's get your take, Loz.
No, I agree with what you just said then, Ben. I think we have to take into consideration that accidents do occur. Well, and I'm going to throw this scenario out there. We saw one of the greatest tries we've seen 2 weeks ago with Xavier Coates going over in the corner to score. Now, he dived, 3 metres, 4 metres from the try line? In the air. So you're not allowed to tackle anyone in the air. But in that situation, if you go to try and tackle him next time he does it, and he seriously injures himself, what will people want? People will want you not to be able to tackle him. And what does that then do? It allows him a free shot at scoring a try. Because if you're diving through the air in that situation and someone tackles you, and you flip them, and they land on their head, they could cause serious.
Well, we saw it yesterday. Who's Melbourne's fullback again?
Serious. Pappenhausen.
He went for the high ball.
Yeah.
One of the Knights players.
Took his legs.
It didn't look like he tried to actually tackle him, but the way he flipped, what if he breaks an arm or a collarbone or...
Well, he might be in some trouble.
Do you reckon he will be?
Might be. I'd have to go back and look to see where his eyes were, whether he had eyes for the ball, whether he was just coming down.
But it's nearly like now, if somebody tries to score, and like you say, and they're in the... What's the defender meant to do? Yeah. Like, it's like you should have... You wear a different jersey. Mm. The defender, just put a tag on you're not allowed to tackle me.
Yeah.
Like, even the halfbacks. Now, every time they kick, they're protected species.
Well, if you've got a good kicking halfback, you should be able to keep in games today, because there's no sort of kick pressure.
We're not allowed.
If you get yourself in a good position with a fast play the ball, mate, you're away. You're away in kicking, and you can dominate field position.
We need to get to some news, but we might discuss this on the other side, because I think this discussion has relevance as well with the Peter Wright scenario for Essendon. It's not just about the act. It's about the duty of care from both players. Mm. And sometimes reckless abandon can result in injury. This is the Big Sports Breakfast. Michael Clark, Laurie Daly and Ben Way with you this morning. I will have Jared back on a Wednesday, so you'll have to tolerate me for at least another day. But it is great to be here and recapping what is a huge weekend in sport. It was so good to see the Australian Grand Prix in full swing, and a little bit of an upset. 9 straight victories to Verstappen. Well, that ended in smoke, didn't it? After about 3 laps. And to those who took the $1.16, I certainly feel for you. Hard to believe that anyone goes around in a Grand Prix, particularly in Melbourne, at $1.16, but it's easy to say in hindsight, isn't it? We did have a text through. Somebody said I was mean, which I found a little bit cruel, but don't take everything I say to heart. The people like Ali, who I work with every Thursday, they know that it's just a little bit of hot air. Do you know, guys, on track, Ali and I have lots of people, including a fella, Sid, who came up and said hello on Saturday, by the way, and a shout out to Sid. Good to see you. We have loads of people come up and ask us about Blackpool, because the number one question is, do you guys really hate each other?
Wow.
Last thing. Usually chat all the way home. Really good friends. But it's all about
versus reality,
it's all about
Benny.
The theatre. And it's a sign of affection.
You get used to it over time, buddy, let me tell you.
It is. And it's a sign of affection, don't you think? Maybe that's a little bit childish by me, but if I give you grief, it usually means I like you.
Mate, I reckon if you and Ali didn't get on, there'd be no show. Put it that way.
Yeah, so that's true.
I just think, stress less what people think.
When I used to work with Joyce, Paul Joyce,
yeah,
people used to accuse us of flirting.
Well, there you go. You can't win.
And I mean, he is a very lovable man.
You can't win.
That felt like a stretch as well. Keep your heroes and villains coming through. We absolutely love them. I have seen a call come through from Bulldog Bethy, who I hope has a hero and villain for us. One we've heard already, or a new hero and villain?
I think it's a new one. Good morning, fellas. How are you today?
Good, thanks. Bulldog Bethy, how are you?
Doing well, doing well.
Good girl.
I've got a couple of heroes today. First one is the Bulldogs, of course, for playing the full 80 minutes. And secondly, myself for turning $4 into $409 on a four-leg multi on the Dogs.
Oh, what'd you do? How'd you go?
What were the legs?
It was Preston, Marnie and Karaz anytime into Dogs 13 plus.
Gee, she must have been confident going into the game.
Yeah, I actually only put $2 on it initially, and I went, no, I'm going to do $4. So I was quite happy with myself.
Good girl, good girl.
Have you got anything planned with the money?
Look, maybe a cruise next year for my 40th. I'm trying to convince the family to book it today, so we'll see how we go.
A $400 cruise.
Oh, look, it'll pay for like a third of my part of it. So, you know, it's not going to be the whole lot. Got to keep tipping for the year, but responsibly, of course.
Oh, exactly right. Now, did you go to the game at all, or did you just watch it on TV? Yeah.
No, you probably could hear me screaming on the sideline. Always go to the Dobbies home games and usually get to the away games as well. I blame my hubby. He converted me 20 years ago.
Now, Bethy, it sounds like you do know how to put together a gun multi. Can I just get your thoughts on Loz's multi and whether you think he is, in fact, the director and plays the role that he claims to play?
Well, look, I think every team's got to have a leader and you've got to have a positive mindset. So, you know, I reckon he is a gun and, you know, it doesn't always go to plan, but you've got to be in it to win it. So good on him, I reckon.
I couldn't have said that any better, Bulldog Bethy. And obviously you understand the industry and you understand... you know, punning is difficult at times, but you're right in everything you say about being a leader. And leader, you have to be a good listener. And that's what I do at times. It's just not all about me being the man, all right? I like to share it around. I like to listen. I love to give others input. And when they have input into what we decide at the end of the day we are going to do, I allow them to do it. And then the multi got up, and, hey, I don't want to sit here and take too
all
much credit for it. But
that's exactly what you've done all morning.
No, I haven't.
Not
I've shared
the credit.
That's exactly right.
You haven't said well done to the guys once. Say it out loud. Say well done. Say it out loud. Don't shake your head. Say well done, Middo. Well done,
mate,
Adam.
Mate, Whose decision was it for you to have Friday off?
Mine.
It was yours. If you didn't take the day off,
I wouldn't have allowed them to be able to participate
in the multi.
This multi
might not have got up. So I think you should take ownership and partial success.
Yeah.
Well played. Good decision to take Friday off. I get it.
You are one of the great leaders of all time in your sport, cricket. And actually, overall.
You can't make it on your own,
Loz,
can you?
And you've confirmed that this morning because you understand where I'm coming from.
I certainly do.
Whereas you... Where's you?
You point.
Got no idea about leadership.
You're right. Just before we let you go, Bulldog Bethy, and I have thoroughly enjoyed your call for what it's worth.
I think we found our winner as well for Heroes
we
and
have.
Listen to you.
We have.
I think we've worked that out quick. You are like Middo.
He's like Middo.
You are exactly the same as Middo. You're such a softie. One female caller and look at you go to water.
Oh, I got the big smile on his face.
I'm glad they don't have cameras in here anymore. I'm beaming from ear to ear. But do you have a selection for Bet's Friends for us? Anyone with a tab app can access Bet's Friends and we can happily put your tip in there. So I'm sure it'd be a Bulldogs theme, but have you got anything for us over the next couple of days?
Oh, mate, if it's a Bulldogs thing, it's got to be 13 plus against the Bunnies on Good Friday, doesn't it?
Oh, I tell you what, it's a big game for... Well, it's a big game for South, obviously. Mm. But I reckon there'll be 50-odd thousand people out there on Friday, and it'll be a great atmosphere. And if the Bulldogs can win this game, this will skyrocket them, I reckon.
Yeah, it might end the Rabbits as well.
It might end the Rabbits, yeah.
Yep.
Wow.
It's going to be a mammoth game.
Yeah,
most definitely.
Yep. Okay. Thank you, Bulldog Bethy, and congratulations. You've won our prize for today. Hey, I just wanted to read out another one that maybe went with a different tone. Leighton from Manly. Now, I think Leighton seems like a very smart individual. Hero. Yep. Laurie, which is lovely.
Yeah.
Laurie, for taking Friday off and letting Mido and Pingelly take control of the multi, it made my weekend.
Hear, hear. That's leadership.
Yeah. Well, it's sort
sometimes,
of leadership.
Sometimes walking away from the leadership, even for a moment, is what's best for everybody else.
Best
that's what he
team.
Did.
And
team
villain.
First.
Villain. Laurie, for advising Josh Reynolds on his multi grubs guarantee. So can I just clarify, you're willing to take all the credit on one multi.
Yeah.
What role did you play in grubs guarantee?
Well, nothing. I don't get involved in that. He's a strong personality, and I stepped down from that role.
So zero involvement.
I've got no involvement in that whatsoever.
I can't help but feel you might just be claiming the winning multi and not and disassociating yourself with grub, which is a little offensive.
It's just what... Tell the truth.
Steve
I've
from
always been told to tell the truth.
Steve from Sydney, is it? Steve from Sydney, good to have you on the show. Can we get a hero and villain?
G'day, boys. Steve? Not Sydney, mate. It's Warwick Nabil. But anyway, we'll get there.
Forgive me. Warwick Nabil, tell me a little bit about Warwick Nabil. Why do I need to go visit?
He's got the motel there.
That's
absolutely
reason enough.
Warwick Nabil Cup this Saturday. Best race day in Western Victoria.
Love it. Okay, well, I can't get there this year, but maybe we should add it into the diary.
Well, mate, I've got a room for you.
Love it. Just like that. Thank you. Hero and villain.
I reckon that lady before me, you're in trouble when Mido goes away, mate. She'll take your job quick, smart.
She was very eloquent. Puss. You're right.
She was. Yeah. All right, heroes, boys. The new Tasmanian AFL team, their marketing department, 150,000 memberships in a week.
Wow.
That's just... $1.5 million jumped into the coffers. It's absolute brilliance.
$150. Well, they charge, what, $10 a head or something?
Yeah, it's an introductory foundation member, $10 a head. You don't get a ticket to a game. You don't get nothing. But they've just got $1.5 million jumped in.
Straight in. Yeah, no, well done.
It's a good win.
Brilliance.
Good win.
And Pup Cricket Australia.
Talk to me.
They've done it again.
What's happened now?
Well, allowing Aaron Hardy.
Oh, yeah,
so
okay.
Aaron Hardy had a contract with Surrey.
Yep.
Aaron Hardy's not a contracted player for Cricket Australia.
Yep.
But they've said, oh, you can't play because you've got to manage your workload. But how did Cricket Australia say that? If it was a Cricket Australia contracted player,
different
I'd get
story,
it.
Yeah. Yeah, good point. Well, I know Cricket Australia's under the pump as well for pulling out of the Afghanistan or postponing the Afghanistan tour as well. So they're copping some flack about that. I didn't know that about Aaron Hardy. But, yeah, that's they've obviously – the State Association has obviously communicated with Cricket Australia and – Cricket Australia will probably wipe their hands and say, well, we didn't tell him not to. We just said it's probably in his best interest. But, yeah, the balance with these young all-rounders is a tough one because there's a number of them, you know. Cameron Green's in front of him. Mitchell Marsh is in front of him. I think playing cricket, I know, you know, you've got to look after your body, but I think you've got to play. I think if you get an opportunity to play county cricket, I don't see why they'd hold him back. Like, if anything, have the conversation with Surrey and try and work out a plan together, but let the kid go and play.
Well, it's more about the coin, too, is it? Like,
and,
he had a contract, he's dropped the coin, and, like, Cricket Australia just going to, in a brown paper bag? Like,
no, they won't pay him. But these conversations were had as well. When I was playing... And even with the IPL, there were some gentle, polite conversations around certain players, you know, Cricket Australia not wanting them to go to the IPL for that amount of time because they wanted them to stay home and either have a rest or work on, you know, their bowling workload for Test cricket. But you could never say to a player, don't go to the IPL. But there was gentle, soft, polite conversations, not wanting to offend the BCCI. Because you could never negotiate your Cricket Australia contract financially.
That's what it is.
Here it is. Yeah. The only negotiation part was your length of the agreement. If they offered you a one-year deal, you could try and negotiate a second year. So a lot of the time, that was your negotiation. If they didn't go to the IPL, you would get an extra year contract. But, yeah, it's hard on the player. If you're telling him not to go and play for Surrey, you get the experience of county cricket and the income. There needs to be something there from Cricket Australia to repay
that.
Yeah, for sure.
Thank you, Steve. This from Brownie on the text line. First time texter, long time listener. Hero, my North Queensland Cowboys, tell me honestly, who would have thought after three rounds they would be the only team without a loss? Might be a surprise packet for the year and Tom Dearden to be one of the best players this year.
Well, I had him in the top four. I had the Cowboys in my four, yeah.
Where'd you have them?
I thought they'd have a good season.
Yeah, no, I didn't have them in eight. But Tommy Dearden, love Tom. Love the way he plays.
He's tough, isn't he?
Mate, just puts his body on the line every week. Yeah, you know.
Villain was NRL refereeing. I tell you what, the multi discussion has really divided our listeners. Are some suggesting that call was actually from Bulldog Bethy Daly? This one, Bethy's rung in on the wrong Monday. She would have had this sewn up if Mido was in charge. So are you telling me that female listeners get a better run with Mido?
And you.
And me.
You're consistent. You're following from Mido's lead.
You gave away the prize. You gave it to Bethy.
I didn't have to. We sit here, Loz and I sit here and watch you. We saw your eyes light up. We see that saw that smile come across your face.
Look, we don't get involved in it, all right? Mate, we don't like to, but today I am.
You certainly feel involved.
Yeah. Yeah. I want to be involved today.
We are definitely female biased in here. We love our female callers and messages. Yeah. If they do call in on a Monday, they always win.
Yeah. That's the trend happened
Yeah,
over the last few years under Mido's stewardship.
Mm. Morning, boys. Laurie, you are a gun for the multi. Don't let them give it to you. I bet on your multis every week.
I love it.
That one from Duffy.
Good on you,
your
Duff.
Your biggest supporter.
You'll never let me down, Duff.
Some are asking whether Loz can hop on a lie detector test and tell us whether he did, in fact, back the multi.
I didn't back the multi this
week.
No, I didn't.
Okay.
There you go.
Okay. I think we've found out everything we need to know.
You were
cheering against the multi this week. That is categoric.
Wow, that's a massive accusation.
We need to catch up on some traffic. Yes, this is the Big Sports Brekkie. Several reminders on the text line about the $31 multi from the Racing HQ team, the punters panel on Friday. Congratulations to DS and Co. Four legs, all to run top four, $31. So they weren't mucking around. The behind the gates boys, they average $1.10 per leg. Max spend $25. Multi around $2.30. These boys are lobbing $31 pops. Enormous.
Well done. Well done to DS and his team. About bloody time.
Oh, they were due, were they?
Most definitely they were due.
But at $31, you now buy yourself 30 weeks.
Yeah, that's a good effort from the boys. I don't even know who was on the pedal on Friday. No doubt Dave will be spruiking that after 9 o'clock.
Mitch from Robertson's pouring cold water on the Cowboys. Wouldn't be getting too excited about them. They haven't had a tough draw to start. Well, I agree. It's definitely better than many predicted, bar Clarkie, by the sounds of it.
Mm. Well, that's the thing when you look at Souths. Like, we're doom and gloom about Souths, but they've had a tough start to the year. Their draw is quite tough. Those three losses against teams that we all think will be playing finals football and quite possibly all making the top four.
Mm. I agree with this one. And it is anonymous. I don't usually read out the anonymous ones. But morning, BSB team. Hero, me for cashing out of my quaddie on Saturday in Sydney after the third leg and collecting 1,300, went on to lose the last leg, so would have received nothing. So that is some brilliant betting there. Although I never like the concept of cashing out on the multi. The option is there. And the villain was Oscar's team for not letting him stay in third. For those who are unaware, Oscar Piastri, the Australian, finished fourth in the Grand Prix yesterday, but he actually had to surrender third under team instruction to his teammate, which is a... I think the diehards find that a concept very difficult to comprehend.
Mm.
If you are a Formula One driver, you've got there through pure aggression and eagerness to win. and they have to hand it over to a teammate. It must feel very unnatural, but he always does the team thing, and for that, I guess you must give him plaudits. It's time for us to check in with Andrew Brown. He has a big show coming up for Radio Tab, and we'll catch Duff on the other side. But Brownie, how are you, and what is ahead?
Yeah, good morning, Ben, and yeah, great lead up to Easter as well. And yeah, David Fowler along very shortly with the usual Monday morning press room. A couple of special guests, including Bart Sinclair, as we reflect on the life, of course, of Mel Shoemaker, who sadly passed away. Obviously, a colourful jockey throughout his career, and had the Queensland Greyhound Racing of the Year award as well, and taken out by JSJ. So John Brash is part of the guests this morning. Special mention to Fab's Cowboy. I don't know if you read this on the weekend. The 12-year-old notched up his 53rd win at start 151 at Moranbah on Saturday, and of course heading off to Living Legend. So a great retirement there for Fab's Cowboy. Of course, he had to retire at the age of 13, as we know, in the Thoroughbred World. So his final season coming up. Plenty more coming up on Racing HQ this morning. Got the previews, South Australian Mobile rolling at a big Gawler Gold Cup meeting in the Harness Racing World yesterday. And just about your point, Ben, just kind of turning to football for a moment. Yeah, I think Peter Wright's in trouble. I don't think he'll get two.
No, you get the impression as soon as it's sent straight to the tribunal, you're talking four.
Yeah. Absolutely.
But do you feel as though it deserves four?
Yes.
Oh, do you?
He jumped the ground and late, and it was head high and led with the elbow and the shoulder. So, yep. And a lot does depend, of course, in the AFL with those decisions too, as to what happens to the victim. And, of course, Harry there, yeah, not good.
See, now I've actually been muffled on this topic a little bit, just for full disclosure. I've been muffled because tomorrow we do have a segment, a new segment, innovative and groundbreaking, where apparently I have a full opportunity to vent.
But, okay.
But I'm friends with Harry, as I mentioned earlier.
Yes.
But I actually feel that his action was more reckless than the action of the player we've now charged. Now, I'm not saying you can't run back with the flight. I love it. But I think when you run back with the flight, it comes with the knowledge that if someone's running the other direction and keen to mark it, you're probably going to be collected. But anyway, that's the beauty of the great game. We can all have differing opinions, can't we?
We'll see what happens. And Brisbane today, light rain and 22. How's that weather?
Beautiful.
Magnificent weather. And feel free to contribute the weather segment on the show each and every week. For what it's worth, I think you're right. I think he probably will get four, but whether he deserves four is the debate. Can't wait for the show. Look forward to it.
Yep. Have a good week, boys. Enjoy your Easter. Thank you.
You too. And we've also got Ron Duffy on the line, and Ron will play a big part in Punter's post-mortem. And there is a lot to dissect from the weekend. I guess on a negative note, we had a horrible fall to end the day. There were some brilliant exhibitions of horsemanship by Jamie Carr and Rachel King throughout the course of the day. And the Golden Slipper is probably the primary talking point from you. Duff, how are you?
Yeah, good, guys. It always is the talking point in a great day's racing. Five group ones, although maybe Via Sistina may overplay the Slipper with her performance. She was just brutal there. She was, I know it was a slowly run race, but a 2,000-metre race coming home, the quickest last 600 of the day, and she's come from last, you know, 32-something, and she would have run there. So it was an amazing performance from her. But, yep, Lady of Camelot, just riding her, that, giving her that quiet trial, just taught her to settle a little bit coming into this race, and that was a winning move because he's just a master jockey, this shit. He's just, he's so cool in a moment. He doesn't panic, and he wins so many races through doing that. So highlights all day, but and plenty to talk about this morning.
One particular aspect with Blake Shin, Duff, and I've mentioned it a few times during race days over the past couple of years, I do feel as though the Sydney stocks have missed him. When there's a slow tempo, he's the one that isn't afraid to completely change things up and inject new speed. Don't you think?
No, I agree. Yeah, no, he's got a great charge of speed, and he's not scared to, as they say, disobey instructions, and he gets a lot of results doing that. So I've seen him do it on a number of occasions. He's got plenty of international experience now. He's his own man. He's confident in his own ability, and he does his form. He's a very good form student at the same time, which is important.
We look forward to the show, Duff, and, of course, I'll see you in Sky Racing throughout the course of the week.
Thanks, guys.
All right, Ron Duffy there. He will be part of the Punters Postmortem team. We need to say goodbye for another morning here, but we've got such a great afternoon coming up. We've got our winner that we need to announce as well. We know who it is.
We know who it is. Bulldog Betsy.
It was Bethy.
Bethy. Bulldog Betsy. Bethy.
It's
Betsy.
It's our winner. At least get
mate,
it right.
It's the only female caller we've had this morning. And probably will have for the week. So, mate, it's a no-brainer.
And to be forever known as Betsy. Thanks, lads. I've enjoyed it.
See
we'll
you
see you guys tomorrow. Can't wait.